Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. You're going to be joined by Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on all things college football. And speaking of all things college football, Joe Rex Road, the Heisman Trophy finalist coming out yesterday, and a doozy of a list. Bryce Young named a finalist, Alabama quarterback C.J. Stroud, Kenny Pickett, Aiden Hutchinson, the Heisman Trophy finalists that were named yesterday. And Joe Rexroad, there was lots of reaction to this on Twitter, including from you. Your reaction to the Heisman Trophy finalists that were announced yesterday.
Well, it's another example of how many dumb people vote for these awards. But it's, and look, it's already a flawed situation because most of the people who vote for the Heisman, you know, like the large majority are on a college beat, I would say. So like you're focused on, so like you have a good feel for like the conference of the team you cover and stuff like that. And you catch glimpses and you catch box scores. And I mean, it's probably should be just a smaller group. I mean, I'm a Heisman voter, and I try to keep track of things, and I feel like I have good ballots. I can't share mine, by the way. That's very much, you know, it's like getting through Fort Knox to even, like, submit your vote. But I'll reveal my ballot after, you know, after the ceremony. When Bryce Young wins, as he should, I think. Oops, I can't, I don't want to say, I don't want to give anything away. But this is, the finalists are, it's ridiculous. Like, Aiden Hutchinson, heck of a year. And I think, you know, he did have a Heisman moment. Like, when you have three sacks against Ohio State,
yep,
that totally – I mean, before then, he wasn't even being mentioned. All of a sudden, he gets to New York. But, I mean, he had three sacks against Ohio State. I have less problem with him being there than I do C.J. Stroud being there. I think that's just ridiculous. You know, he's very good. But that you know, that position, to me, you got, when you lose that game, if that's going to elevate Hutchinson, and it did, it should also drop C.J. Stroud. Two people should be in New York who aren't. One, like Will Anderson from Alabama. I mean, the guy, and let's compare Anderson and Hutchinson. You know, Hutchinson, 15.5 tackles for loss, 14 sacks. Anderson, 31.5. Tackles for loss, 15.5 sacks. Also, by the way, because I do think supporting cast should be taken into account. There's a lot of things you can take into account. You can look at this a lot of different ways. And it's Alabama, so there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of good players.
Yep.
But Hutchinson, all of a sudden, like all year long, and this was accurate, Michigan was discussed as like they have the best duo. Because David Ajabo might be a top 10 pick. And all of a sudden now it's like, Aiden Hutchinson. Like, we don't even hear about David Ajabo, who's also a monster and makes it very difficult. You have to make a decision, and Hutchinson gets single blocked quite a bit because they're doubling both of them. Will Anderson does not have a David Ajabo next to him, okay? You know, that's not a great Alabama defense. He has been an absolute wrecker for them and 100% should be in New York. And then Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. And, again, I tweeted this last night. That's not a very good team. I mean, the reason he's not there is because they lose 56-7 Ohio State, and he has like six carries, and he's He had an ankle injury. Then they're getting blown out. He's out of there. So I get that. But again, that Aiden Hutchinson-led defense let him run for 197 and five touchdowns.
Yeah.
And they lost. They blew a 16-point lead. Like, this is a, it's kind of like the running back disrespect, I think, that Derrick Henry runs into sometimes. They came back in a game down 16 against a great team with a running back. And you know, he had a, an incredible year. And just not be like, why would the Heisman in this year cut it at four anyway? Like, why wouldn't you have five? But they, you know, it's, I'm still mad about 2009 because Ndamukong Suh was clearly the best football player in America. And who the heck, what, Colt McCoy win it? Who the heck won? Oh, no, Mark Ingram.
Yeah, Mark Ingram.
And, you know, and again, sometimes it's just like, who's the best player on the best team?
Yeah.
But that was just a huge, that was a great example of people, like, not paying attention. This is another example of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of reaction to the Will Anderson thing, especially. I mean, you brought it up, the 31.5 tackles for loss, 15.5 sacks. Had 92 total set tackles, 53 of them solo. I mean, he's an absolute beast out there. And Dan Wetzel, who we'll have on the show a little bit later, said, I'm starting the Anderson for Heisman 22 campaign right now. So we'll see what happens on that front. But it is like in a year like this where there really wasn't just your run of dominant players, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I was interested to see how many defensive players they could get as a finalist this year. It ends up being one. I have no problem with Kenny Pickett being a Heisman Trophy finalist. I think he deserves to be there. Obviously, I have no problem with Bryce Young either. The C.J. Stroud thing to me, too, is a little bit weird. I mean, he put up some huge numbers. He's a really good player. I understand all that. But, look, I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that put up really good numbers. I would have liked to see Will Anderson get in there.
I mean, it is kind of – I mean, I guess in a way you could look at it like, okay, so wait. So you're going to knock C.J. Stroud for losing the game at Michigan, and he wasn't great in that game. But Pickett, that, I mean, that team lost. I mean, Pittsburgh right now is in the playoff, except they lost to Western Michigan and Miami.
Yep.
Or they're in the playoff. But the thing is, Pickett was not the problem. They scored just about every time they had the ball in those games. Their defense got demolished.
Yep.
But it is a little bit of a different standard between those two. Pickett is, I think, a better player – for a much lesser team. Stroud is almost like, I mean, you can look at this for Young too. I mean, I think before Young did what he did against Georgia, a lot of people were like, okay, so you're the quarterback for Alabama, you have big numbers, and you're just going to – that's why a lot of people were talking about defenders this year. I mean, Jordan Davis had all kinds of momentum, but like, and like early in the year at The Athletic doing these straw polls, I had him in my top three a few times. But as you kind of go along, I mean, he's a two-down – you know, he's a two-down, run-stopping lineman that, you know, I mean, I think he's the third best of the defenders. But the best, the number one option of the defenders is Will Anderson, and he's not going to New York, and Aiden Hutchinson is. I just, again, Hutchinson, I think, should be there. And I think Stroud should be out, and I think Walker and Anderson should be in, and then it'd be fine.
So how do you fix the Heisman voting process? If it's up to Joe Rexroad, how do you fix that?
Like I said, I mean, I guess you could cut way down on the number of voters. I think it's about 900. I think that's right.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of voters. So you could cut down on that, but then how do you – okay, you are a bad voter. You're out. You know, you're a pretty good voter. You stay. I don't know. But I would say that to me, it's like making it to New York is a big deal. You know, and that's why I feel bad for a kid like Kenneth Walker, who he's going to the NFL. He deserved it for what he did this year because it's not a very good football team.
Yeah.
And he totally changed that team. And to me, like, one thing I would change is just take your top five. It used to be five every time. Like, growing up, it used to be five people. And that's cool. It's a cool experience for them. And we've had some situations where it's three. I understand it depends on the voting, but to me, it's like, take your top five. That's one thing I would change. Other than that, you can go across the board. I mean, even like MVP voting in baseball, there's always a couple votes that you're like, huh?
Yep.
You know, or whatever. You're always going to have random stuff. But the Heisman feels very much like a, what's the shiny new thing right now? And what's everybody talking about? And then a whole bunch of voters are like, oh, okay, I'll vote for that. Rather than pay attention the whole year and try to be informed.
That's one of my biggest problems with the Heisman, and I understand why it happens this way. But it basically feels like a, all right, we're going to start paying attention in Week 10 award to what's going on out there. And if you have big games, Week 10, 11, 12, you'll be in good shape. If you don't, you're screwed.
You know, that's true. And it also, I mean, like Kenny Pickett, again, he had a great game against Western Michigan. It wasn't his fault. But if they had lost late in the year to Western Michigan, then maybe he's not there.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it costs him more. Of course, you know, the fake slide probably got him in. So,
what a play.
A lot of people don't like that play.
I get it,
but it was pretty. I mean, I think on his part, I'm like, man, that was pretty good. Yeah. He might blow out a knee. But yeah, the refs should have blown that dead. It's not his fault the refs didn't blow it dead.
No,
he gave it a shot.
Yeah. No. I don't really blame Kenny Pickett. It's just like, all right, do you want the quarterback to get hit or do you not?
Right.
Make a call.
Yeah, as soon as a guy starts to do the slide motion, oh, you just blow your whistle.
Exactly. We'll continue the conversation on college football. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the college football playoff matchups? Did the committee get it right? And what do we expect to see as they move forward into the semifinals coming up on New Year's Eve? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Calgary Flames at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, December the 14th? Well, head on over to YouTube, subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Preds take on the Flames live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com. That's promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen coming up on Monday, December 13th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking college football, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, the college football playoff matchups are set. Cincinnati taking on Alabama, Michigan taking on Georgia. I'm very intrigued by this playoff, obviously, given what we saw on Saturday. Cincinnati makes it in there. The Michigan-Georgia game, to me, is fascinating. It's setting up for good old-fashioned defensive struggle, which now that everybody's expecting that probably means the score will be 35-31 or whatever the case may be. I don't know. It's hard to see it in that one, though. That's going to be a slugfest out there between those two.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen Georgia's defense get punctured one time now.
Yep.
But it is the last time we saw it. But you're just talking about passing personnel that, well, I guess really no one else. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, Ohio State is the only other team, and that's the team I thought, okay, let's see those receivers and Stroud against Georgia. Well, we saw Bama's receivers and Bryce Young against Georgia, and there you go. There's the formula. Michigan doesn't have that at all. I mean, that's probably the – although I will say that Cade McNamara has – become a pretty good quarterback. Like, he's way better now than he was early in the season. But, you know, the receivers aren't spectacular. Like, Tennessee has a flat-out better passing game than Michigan, and we saw what Georgia did to them. Now, Michigan does have a better offensive line run game, so but can anyone just run on Georgia? I haven't seen it, you know? So I have a hard time seeing it here.
No, I do too. I was blown away by what Alabama did to that defense on Saturday. I mean, I'm not necessarily surprised that Alabama won. You know, it's Alabama, so I'm not really ever surprised that they win the game. But to win it in the fashion that they did, and Bryce Young, he threw for 420 yards in that game against that defense. I mean, it was sensational what he was able to do. I was blown away by what they were able to do, and here they are again. I mean, the conversation all year, the Alabama defense is not the same as it used to be. This just doesn't feel like the same Alabama team, and yet here they are, the number one seed. They're a two-touchdown favorite against Cincinnati, and, you know, I think we're in for an Alabama-Georgia rematch for the national title, but, man, maybe that'll be the last time I pick against Alabama.
Yeah, well, of course, you're, like, thinking back on all of us. Well, not all of us, Michelle. And there were a few people out there who were like, well, it is Saban, Alabama. But, I mean, I thought about it. As the game was unfolding, I thought about this. Like, when's the last time that Saban actually had a chance to tell his team, aha, no one thinks we're going to win this game. And, of course, he said it after the game.
And, boy, did he enjoy that chance.
He loves the rat poison.
He does.
The tasty rat poison, you know. I mean, and not – how much does that matter in a game like this? So, Beauclair said yesterday, he's like, well, you know, Georgia, and you talked about this last week, they don't have the desperation. Like, they know they're in the playoff, which I agree, but I still think Georgia badly wanted to, you know, to beat Alabama, win an SEC championship. This is supposed to be their greatest team ever. How do you not win an SEC championship?
Well, also,
you got to beat Alabama.
Well, you keep
Saban.
Your biggest threat out of the playoff probably at that point, too.
That, too. So I just think Bama kicked their butt. I mean, I don't think there's any way around it. They kicked their butt. And I think this is where you look at Michigan's opportunity is, what did Bama do? They victimized Stetson Bennett.
Yep.
And you know, he obviously can't turn over like that. Because for as much as Alabama dominated the game with Bryce Young, it still could be a very different game if Stetson Bennett doesn't. It could be a very close game down to the end if he doesn't make those mistakes and get baited into those mistakes. And that's where, Michigan has a good defense. They've got, you know, two great pass rushers in Hutchinson and Ajabo. So that's their pathway, is to keep the score down, and they might be able to.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texting in, some people say Georgia shouldn't be in the playoff because they didn't play anyone, and I don't understand. It's the same when Bama is dominant. It's hard to play teams that are compared to you when you're the best in the country. This is coming from Nate on the text line.
Yeah, it's a very – that kind of reminds me of some Heisman voters just being very uninformed. I mean, like, look, it is also watching a team play, and there's no question in my mind that Georgia belongs there,
yep.
And I still think they have a great chance to win a national championship. I mean, look, they went into Auburn and just dominated them. They went to Tennessee. Tennessee's going to score 30 on just about anybody right now.
Yep.
I mean, what's the lowest? So Tennessee's, I guess they scored 26 against Ole Miss, right? But Tennessee's basically like you can count them for 30. You know, and Georgia just they have one early drive, and then they just silence them. I mean, that's a great team. So the idea that they don't belong is stupid. But the idea that Cincinnati doesn't belong also is stupid, and there's a lot of people saying that too.
Y'all may have touched on this yesterday, but I'm interested to get your thoughts. If Oklahoma State finishes that off, they get that extra yard, what does the playoff picture look like? Do they jump Cincinnati?
I think Cincinnati still would have gotten in, but I don't feel great about it. It's so funny. So I think Beauclair is like, I think he said, yeah, for sure Oklahoma State. At the Athletic, Ubben is, so two friends of the show. Ubben is like absolutely like Cincinnati shouldn't even have looked at the show. It would have been Oklahoma State. Vanini, oh no, Cincinnati would have been in. I don't know. I don't feel confident either way. I would guess that Cincinnati, they still would have – this is the opportunity. Like, this is an undefeated team. They have a win by double figures on the road against your number five team.
Right.
I mean, it's one of the top handful of wins in the entire year. I think that they would have gotten Cincinnati because you don't have to have Oklahoma State. And it's not like the Big 12 is all that impressive. Yes, it's better than Cincinnati's conference. But I could be wrong. I mean, maybe some people are just like, oh, they just the whole thing is designed to just benefit the Power Five. And so they would have done that if they didn't have to put Cincinnati in. I don't necessarily buy that.
Bowl season is the best season. ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs. Brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company is the perfect spot to catch every game during bowl season. For a list of games carried on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowl games. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on college football. We'll be joined by our friend Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
Ah, yes, Nick Saban embracing that underdog role this weekend after the Tide beat down the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC title game, setting up the college football playoff matchups that have come out since then. Alabama taking on Cincinnati and Michigan taking on Georgia. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Dan, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Dan, let's just start there. Your thoughts on the matchups in the college football playoff. Did the committee get it right? And I'll ask you the same question I just asked Rex Road. If Oklahoma State finishes that off and scores a touchdown, do they jump Cincinnati, in your opinion? What do you think?
I think they were going to jump Cincinnati, yeah. I think Cincinnati needed basically three leagues to cannibalize themselves to get this done. I think Oklahoma State would have gotten in. I think they would have. That's another good win over Baylor, and they love when they can give a conference champion. So I thought Cincinnati needed help all the way through, and they got it. And you think about it now. I mean, that was, what, 3-4 inches on that final play?
Yeah.
That's how close it was for Cincinnati. So they were in. Yeah, I think it was fine. You could make your little arguments. Is Michigan one? Is Alabama one? Is Cincinnati 3 or 4? Look, it's a 14 playoff. You can't really hide. So you're going to have to play somebody eventually. So I thought they did a fine job. Most of these years, there really isn't a controversy. All the controversy with the committee is when they rank them like 5 weeks ago when it's impossible to rank the teams.
So what are you excited about this playoff, Dan? Like, do you feel like we're going to get good games here?
I don't know. I mean, college football is such an odd sport. You know, it's not like the NFL where you generally feel pretty good about every game coming down to the fourth quarter or down to the end. I don't know. But I am. I mean, I think, you know, Cincinnati Cincinnati provides like an underdog for people. I think it adds in, brings in some different kind of fans. And, you know, if that game is even close in the second half, I think it'll be just amazing. You think about how big the underdog, the Cinderella, gets in basketball. Just imagine if this is in football and Cincinnati has that shot to beat Alabama. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But it's certainly a different look, and then, you know, Michigan's at least some new blood. So we got at least two new teams this year, and I think the Michigan Georgia game is very fascinating going in, and you can talk yourself into all sorts of stuff on that one. So all four of these teams have a flaw, and all four of these teams also have great strengths. I think last year was like, kind of, you know, it was like, who the heck is going to stop Alabama? Well, look, this year, if Alabama plays like they did at the SEC title game, they're going to win it. If they play like they did against Auburn, they're not. Or LSU, they're not. Or Texas A&M, they're not. So it's like, which Alabama shows up? You know, Michigan obviously is playing great, but has a ton of questions still. They've never done it. Georgia, we have a quarterback controversy. And then Cincinnati's from the American. So all four places have questions, and I think that's a good thing that at least brings some you could talk yourself into a lot of different outcomes here.
Dan, the Heisman Trophy finalist list comes out yesterday. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Kenny Pickett, and Aiden Hutchinson. What did you think of the finalist list, and what did you think that Will Anderson not on that list?
Yeah, I wish Will Anderson was on the list, the Alabama linebacker. I mean, just incredible season. You know, the Heisman's a weird thing. I don't vote in it. They have too many voters. They limit the number of people you can vote for because they want to keep historical records and keep it consistent. I see no problem with having like five people there every time. Like, why not give a kid at least a shot to say, hey, I was a Heisman finalist. Like, what are we saving, a plane trip to New York? Like, what is the,
Like, seriously.
Right? Like, do you care if there's five Oscar nominees or Academy, whatever, you know, Grammys? Like, no, it's like, great, someone's a Grammy nominee. They didn't win it, but, and then I just, you know, the inability of the voters to A, watch a lot of games, or B, just wrap their mind around the idea that a defensive player can be better than, can be the best player in the sport, you know, forever is baffling to me. And it's not like they go quarterback every single time. So, you know, the idea, well, a guy only touches the ball so many. How many times did Devontae Smith touch the ball last year? And I'm not saying it was a wrong pick, but Will Anderson, I mean, he plays at Alabama. I don't know how you watch an Alabama game and not notice this guy. I just don't. So Hutchinson made it this year for Michigan. I think that's a good pick. He dominates. He's a factor on virtually every play. Unless they just run a sweep away from him. He's easily Michigan's best player, and Michigan's having its best year in 20 years. So I'm glad he got in there, but I just don't understand the hesitancy to prop up defensive players in college football. It's just, I don't think anyone would do that, and, you know, I just don't get it.
So wait, are you like a non-voter on, like, are you a Dan Wolken won't vote on things, or just this particular one you don't like?
I don't vote on anything. Yeah, actually, I don't vote. I mean, I can barely handle like unimportant things, like who's going to be president. I can't handle big things like a Heisman, like governor, like that. You know, those things don't really matter. I can't do like the Gray Guy Award. No, I don't vote. I've never voted in anything. I think it's like you're making the news, right? You're a reporter. I mean, you can go on the radio and argue about it, but like to officially choose who's the MVP of a league, to officially pick a Hall of Fame, people are getting, they get lobbied. You get, I mean, you know, you get, you know, there's bonuses tied into this stuff. There's money changing hands. Like, that's not what the media's job is. So.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you, except that we need smart people doing the voting. Like, I've told this to Wolken, too. Like, I hear you. It totally makes sense. But it's going to happen anyway, so be, you know, like, help. Not that, you know, not that one.
Well, you're assuming I'm smart. A, but B, not my problem. You figure it out. Like, I always said, like, don't do the, you know, the AP poll choosing a champion is ridiculous in college football. Come up with your own committee. Spend your own money. It's their problem, not mine. So, I don't vote. Like, I don't vote in anything.
Fair enough. All right, college football, and you've been, you've been at the forefront of criticizing college football and all of the contradictions and hypocrisy. And it's just amazing the new territory we're reaching with coaching salaries and hires and all these things. Meanwhile, we have the playoff that's going to expand, although they can't decide on that. When's that going to happen? And they're hung up on these things. You got more expansion of leagues. Where do you see college athletics right now, Dan? I mean, I'm loving some of the name, image, likeness stuff I'm seeing, and I know you were out front on all that so long ago too. But where is this all heading?
Yeah, I actually think it's making a lot of progress. I mean, I know people get hung up on how much money the coaches are making. I think these guys, some of them have been vastly underpaid, and in America, you know, make whatever you can. Well, you're worth what someone says you're worth. Nick Saban's probably worth $50-something million a year at the University of Alabama.
Right.
He really, if you look at the applications and, like, the fact that more students at Alabama are from out of state than in state. That wasn't true when he took over. Like, people go to Alabama because they see this thing every week on CBS, and his value is extraordinary. And to sit there and say, "Oh, you're only worth $9 million," so I don't have a problem with coaching salaries. The coaches moving. I mean, like, you know, it was weird watching Brian Kelly leave when he still could have made a playoff. I mean, look, they are. When Georgia's up 10-0 on Alabama, if that had continued, Notre Dame's in that playoff without their coach. Like, that's crazy, right? You leave a team, but that's an individual decision by Brian Kelly. Luke Fickell wasn't doing it, right? Other guys weren't doing it. So, but the fact that coaches can leave, but the players can leave now too, that's fair. Like, I'm never going to be, I'm a market guy, you know, I'm not going to say, you can't leave a team or you must do this or that, but just apply that same fairness to the players. Oh, I can be in the Aflac commercial, but my player can't, you know, show up to for an autograph session at a pizza place and make $500 or free pizza. You know, those are the real hypocrisies. So, and I think it's amazing you watch so many of these players now. I just saw one with Cade McNamara today from the Michigan quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, they're using their NIL money to give money to children's hospitals and this charity and that charity. And, like, the world did not end because of this. It'll be fine. And the fans did not philosophically say, that's it, I just can't watch this guy. He's got a commercial. Or he's got a free car, right? And half these deals won't even pan out. You know, Spencer Rattler got two cars. He's driving both of them out of Norman. How do you transfer when you got two cars? Gotta get your sister to come help drive one or something like that. I don't know. So I think we're actually making progress. You know, the playoff I think will help. It'll help the players make more money. I think it'll be a very, very exciting thing. And look, it's a great sport. Just let it. Let it be the sport. Just stop regulating every last factor of everything.
Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan, last thing for you. 1 to 10, if you had to rate it, the Brian Kelly Southern accent. Well, how'd you like that one?
Here's his mistake. It could have been a 10 if he had just come out and owned it. But he's been like silent and sheepish. He just should have come out and owned it. It would have been great. Yeah, not good. I grew up near Brian, and I grew up near each other. Not together, but nobody talked like that. Absolutely zero people. And
well, I think
I don't know. He's fixing to visit him with somebody. I don't know what he was doing. You know. Everybody wants to sound like their coach, O, though, right? Like, everybody spent the last 5 years going, go Tigers, right?
That's right.
So he got caught up in it, you know? I cut the guy a little slack. I had an SEC assistant be like, oh, we're using that against him in recruiting, and he's off to a bad start. I'm like, relax. Brian Kelly's won every last spot he's been. He'll overcome this, dude. He'll overcome this. He'll be fine.
I wanted to actually hear yours. I mean, like, I knew that you and BK are from the similar areas. I mean, and you're on in Nashville radio. Do we have a good Dan Wetzel Southern accent?
I might have spent more time in the South than Brian Kelly, so I don't know. Going up the road, I don't even know how they do it. Just fixing to be visiting with you. I remember.
There you go.
I've been fixing to be visiting with y'all, or something like that. Yeah.
Nice.
I had another guy. I want to say I had a guy. He was actually in Tennessee. That Bob Evans is one good cook.
I love it. Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Dan, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning.
Appreciate it. Thank
you. See y'all later, Dan.
Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Ah. I'm never going to get tired of that Brian Kelly stuff.
That is funny that someone was like, oh, we're going to use that against him. Like, okay, we're all making fun of him. He'll probably be okay.
Brian Kelly.
He might be able to overcome this.
Brian Kelly doesn't like his family. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Dan Wetzel had to say. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up later today at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Thanks to Dan Wetzel for joining us in the last segment. We'll be joined by our friend Kayla Anderson from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans as they take on the Jags later this week. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Rainey texting in, the bowl matchups in general are incredible this year. It is a pretty attractive bowl schedule out there in college football. And I love me a little bit of Baylor Ole Miss. Looking forward to that one. Lots of good bowl games out there.
I'll be honest, I haven't even looked at the whole schedule yet.
Really?
Now that you bring it up.
There's some good ones. There's Houston, Auburn, interesting game there.
That's not bad. But, yeah. I mean, the one that stands out to me as a game that already makes me want to claw my eyes out, Iowa, Kentucky.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yes.
Lord. I mean, you're not even excited about that game. Come on.
Be 11 combined points.
I just can't wait to win.
2 yards in a cloud of dust every play.
I mean, at least, yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, at least Kentucky now this year has actually adopted the forward pass. So, yes.
We finally got a QB. It's what we needed.
Yeah. Iowa is just, Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah.
Kirk Ferentz. You know, he's a tremendous program. Tough football, a lot of good defense. They've had some good overall teams, but when they are unwatchable on offense, boy, are they unwatchable on offense.
Clemson and Iowa State in the Cheez-It Bowl. Get excited about that one.
That's an interesting one. Boy, both of those teams. If you told either of those teams, because Iowa State was supposed to win the Big 12 this year.
Be like in some the Cheez-It people. Bowl.
Yeah, how's the Cheez-It Bowl sound, but especially Clemson? How about Clemson, by the way, just, you know, in general – you have this season, and now Venables is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a huge part of their success. Now he leaves. You know, you hope to lose, like, a coordinator like that after, like, a natty season, you know? Like, well, what are you going to do? You brought us to the promised land, you know, good luck to you. But you lose him after this year. Little bit of a downturn there. We'll see. We'll see if Dabo can quickly rebound. You got to have a QB, though.
I was interested to see who would end up with the Florida Bowls in the SEC. So the Gator Bowl comes around, and you've got Wake Forest, Texas A&M, Outback Bowl, Penn State, and Arkansas, which that's an interesting matchup right there. By the way, can we just talk for a second about how much of a wizard James Franklin is? He's like 12-10 in the last 2 years and just got a 10-year contract extension. It's pretty unbelievable what he's been able to pull off here.
Yeah. Well – but this is also one part of the sport that it's two sports, and one sport is recruiting.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, the number 3 class coming in. Now, at some point, that's got to pay off, and you got to, like, win the Big Ten East, you know? I mean, did he lose to all the other 3 good teams? Yeah. I mean, actually, they gave Ohio State a good game.
Yeah.
But they lost to Michigan State, Ohio State. I mean, at some point, it's got to pay off. I mean, he's won the Big Ten once. So it's not like it's all smoke and mirrors, but, yeah.
If 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in general. And I agree with Wetzel. Like, look, whatever the market is, the market. If the market says you're going to get paid this much, well, that's fine. If the agents are going to run circles around these ADs, then let them run circles. As long as we're out of this situation where players can't get any money. But, yeah, there's some outrageous coaching contracts out there. And it's here we go. Now, at this point, if you're a college football coach of a major Power 5 program, you make like $5-6 million a year. It's like, what's wrong with you, man?
Yeah.
You only make $5 million? $5-6 million? Four? What?
Like, I realize incredible. Nick Saban is not hurting for money. So I don't know how much he's thinking about this, but like his agent, I would look at him and be like, you could make $25 million per year and probably still be underpaid. Like, I agree with Wetzel. Like, well, if he made $50 million a year, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, he should have like a stipulation in his contract that just like whatever, like it's just an auto raise. Like he makes 25% more than any other coach in the game at all times.
Yes.
So just, I mean, at some point, we'll probably get a contract like that. The way these ADs negotiate.
Matthew from Paris texting in, there needs to be a new Triple H next year, the Hendon Hooker Heisman. 30 touchdowns passing, 20 touchdowns rushing. Called shot. Hendon Hooker for the Heisman. 50 combined touchdowns.
20 touchdowns rushing?
That's what he said.
Take it easy.
That's what he said.
How about you know, like about a 38-12 split? Then you could still get to 50. That's more that's more realistic, right? Something like that.
And maybe Hendon Hooker he's taking off next year, man.
Well, hey.
Scampering around.
He can have monster numbers. It's just, what's their record? You know? Monster. Yeah. You know? When's the last time a quarterback made it to New York who had great numbers for a bad team or an average team? I mean, C.J. Stroud, you know, again, I don't think he should be there, but they still did go 10-2.
Yeah.
But that's about as low as you can go. Kenny Pickett, they went 10-2, and that was a big surprise, so it's easier to see him there, right? Look, if the Vols can go 10-2 next year, and Hendon Hooker is the quarterback, and he has ridiculous numbers, then he could be in New York. But are they going to go 10-2 against that schedule? That's
probably not.
That's the toughie.
I just love the name of some of these bowls. They change on a yearly basis. I mean, the Cheez-It Bowl is outstanding. There's all kinds of good stuff in here. Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Fenway Bowl. I'm not a big fan of the Fenway Park Yankee Stadium bowls.
I mean, who wants to do
that? Who wants to do that? It's freezing.
All right, guys. You know, your bowl activities are like, okay, we're going to wrap you up in your winter clothes and get on a bus and then go somewhere inside and, you know, play video games.
Congratulations on your good season.
I don't get it.
It's 14 degrees at game time out here.
It's the Wasabi Fenway Bowl, by the way.
Excuse me, sorry.
Make sure you get that right. Yeah. You know, so do we not have the Beef O'Brady's? That doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think so. I think it's gone.
We don't have the Poulon Weed Eater. These are some of my favorite bowls. Well, I like this one, though. The Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl presented by Stifel?
Is that
what
a real
in
thing?
What the hell is that? I don't know what any of that is. How about the Cricket Celebration Bowl?
That I can get behind.
The RoofClaim.com Boca Raton Bowl. RoofClaim.com. There you go. Get your name on a bowl game.
Say that 10 times fast.
RoofClaim.com?
Yeah. Oh, man. Some good stuff. And congrats to the MTSU, by the way. A little Bahamas Bowl action. It's not a bad deal.
And that's coming. I mean, obviously, that's the first one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's coming
right
up. It's
like right the 17th.
Up. Yeah. I mean, hey, they're way worse. You know, they had a solid season. But to be rewarded for that season with the Bahamas?
It's pretty good.
All day.
Mark from Clarksville texting in, does the Cheez-It Bowl have a big Cheez-It for a trophy or a bowl full of Cheez-Its? What happens there, do we think? Just one gigantic Cheez-It, or is it a whole trophy bowl full of Cheez-Its?
Now, as someone who's covered the Outback Bowl, let me tell you, those blooming onions at halftime that they bring to your seat, oh, yeah, baby. So I'm sure there's a lot of at least Cheez-It eating that's going on. Like, where... What I hate is when it's just the sponsor name.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, okay. The Wasabi Fenway Bowl, okay. Where's the Cheez-It Bowl? What is it? Where is the Cheez-It Bowl? Like, we have the Valero Alamo Bowl. This is all the games on the 29th. I hate when they just make it the sponsor name. Make it the Cheez-It whatever the heck it used to be bowl.
It's the Camping World Stadium in Orlando.
Okay, so it used to be the Camping World.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's okay. So that's like because the Orlando Stadium always has two. They have, and that used to be the. I mean, I've covered that one too. What the heck did that used to be before Camping World? It was something else, but it was still called the Something Bowl.
Right.
Anyway, Tennessee Purdue. You excited about this?
Yeah, I am. I'll be there. Little Music City Bowl action.
Yeah.
It's a good matchup.
It is. It's a good matchup. It should be a lot of points.
Boiler up, baby.
Yeah. You going to go? You going to go root for the Boilers?
Heck yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
The tears are still flowing. They'll be flowing until next year.
Those delicious Kentucky tears.
Delicious Kentucky tears. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Kayla Anderson from News 2. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans as they take on the Jags this week. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.